Today on Real Radio.
So he says, honor, value widows who are really widows, those who have really been deserted. And I tell you, God has a special place for widows. In Psalm 68, 4 and 5, he says, extol him who rides upon clouds by his name Yah, and rejoice before him, a father of the fatherless and a defender of widows. That's pretty heavy. Extol God who rides upon the clouds, who is a defender of the widow. We need to be careful, man.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're looking at the first 16 verses of chapter 5, where Paul reminds Timothy to include in his calling the care of the less fortunate, and to show respect and gratitude of the elderly, and other outward actions. It's a presentation called Responsibilities of a True Believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
If you can't pray from a heart of love, then back off. If you can't minister from a heart of love, if love does not constrain you in the ministry, then get out of the ministry. Don't get into it. You know why? Because you'll go around rebuking older people. You'll go around eating people up. We need to minister from a loving heart. In 1 John 4:16, it says, and we have known and believed that God is love, and that he loves us. God is love. It's his very nature. It's within him. He is love. And so we, being his offspring, ought to exhibit that. And I love this verse. This verse is ministered to a couple of us this week. In Hebrews 6:10, it says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that we have ministered to the saints and do currently minister labor of love. So let everything be done in the love of the ministry, the love for God, the love for his people, and it needs to be our absolute motivation. Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments, which are love one another and love God. He goes on to say in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our house with him. It's one of the greatest verses in all the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. And then love must be the foundation of this church, of this ministry. And God spoke this to my heart in John 21, where Peter's eating, and they're all eating, and they're cooking, and having a good time. And Peter must have been like eating the fish, because Jesus goes, Peter, do you love me more than these? I mean, come on, man. You're like scarfing everything up around here. And something happened for Jesus to say, Peter, do you love me more than these? I could just see Peter, man, this is the best fish I ever had. Oh, man. And he must have been, Jesus says, Peter, geez, make a big deal. Do you love these more than me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. You know I'm really fond of you, God. And Jesus says, well, then feed my sheep. And Peter's, oh, okay, great. Starts eating again. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And he goes, Lord, you know I love you. And then Jesus says a third time, or he says a second time to Peter, then feed my sheep. And then the third time, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was grieved in his heart. I think he was convicted. And he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I'm very fond of you. I think you're dynamite, Jesus. I think you're great. And Jesus says, if you think I'm great, really, he says, then if that be true, then minister to my sheep. And that's the bottom line of the ministry. I don't care what you're doing. You may say, but I'll never be in the pulpit. I don't even want to be. You should have asked me that a year ago. I don't want to be. God will call you somewhere if it's to your family, as he has called you, by the way. And you must minister in love to them. God's love, not our own. And so we need to be very sensitive to that. If we do not minister out of love, people, we will minister out of obligation. We all know what that's like. We go to our jobs. Here it is. You can always tell when you go to a restaurant where a waitress is ministering to you by obligation. Here's your toast. Here, wham, man. You know, and the plate comes and the sauce spills on you and don't care. Ministry of obligation. Give me that check. It's Friday. Ooh. Hey, that's ministry of obligation. Well, we got to do it, so I guess we'll go. Forget it. God says, just keep it, okay? I don't want it. It needs to be done in love. By the way, that becomes a labor of works rather than a labor of love. So he goes on to say, exhort, bring alongside him as a father, the young men as brothers. That's Christian brothers. Cordial, loving, and as peers. And then he says, verse 2, the older women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. Men in the ministry, when you go to hug a girl in a Christian hug, I want to share something with you. Be careful. Now, I don't want to put thoughts in your mind, but there are people that are innocent, but they'll come up and they'll hug you and they'll squeeze the snot out of you. And they're of the opposite sex. You know what? That scares me. It always drives me crazy. It's not good. And I know it might be done innocently, but men, when you hug a lady like this, man, just, it's smart, it's safe. We need to do that. And when we counsel somebody, counsel with somebody around in the immediate area. Not that they can overhear everything, but don't go into a room and shut the door. I don't even care if it's your sister. I mean, real sister, here at church. Other people don't know that. Don't do that. It might look bad. We need to deal with the women in purity. That word purity in the Greek is hygienia. It's where we get the word hygiene, clean. We need to deal with women with clean hands, clean hearts, and clean minds. We need to be very careful about it. And I think it's just wisdom, if you ask me. But he says the older women as mothers. And I don't know. You know, personally, there's something so radically wonderful about women who love God. They're just special people. And you older women and you sisters, you guys are the backbone of this place. So many of you pray and so many of you minister and minister to our kids and do so many things. The helps ministry, the alms ministry, it blows me away. And we're so grateful that you're here. And so he goes on now in verse 3. And he changes the whole thing. Now, verse 1 and 2, that's a topic. That's the foundation of ministry. Now, verse 3, turn the page, clear the chalkboard. Whole new thought. Paul tells Timothy, honor, or really value, esteem highly in the Greek, with preciousness. Honor, value widows, who are really widows. And I got to say this right now before we go any further. And I hope this is an enlightenment to you. It was to me. This word widow means, are you ready? Somebody who has lost a spouse through death. Well, of course. It also means a woman who's been deserted by a man that has gone astray. Interesting, isn't it? It also means a woman who has had a husband sent off to imprisonment. And I gotta say this, according to the U.S. News and World Report, the greatest number of poverty-stricken people in America will be women who have been deserted by husbands. Hey, you want to have a ministry that's going to flourish in the next few years? A widow's ministry. It's going to boom. This church needs to start preparing its heart. And by the way, when we come to the end of this message today, I pray that God speaks to the hearts of some of you out there in a widow's ministry begins as of this day here. But the fact of the matter is, there are an increasing number of people who have been deserted or their husbands have been shipped off to prison. And they're struggling. And they're hurting. And it's sad and it's brutal, and the church needs to be sensitive to that. And men need to be men and not leave home, grow up, and start following Jesus. Somebody said that 75% of the marriages in America at the current rate will end in divorce. 75%. What an indictment. It's so sad. So he says, honor, value widows who are really widows, those who have really been deserted. And I tell you, God has a special place for widows. In Psalm 68, 4 and 5, he says, extol him who rides upon clouds by his name Yah, and rejoice before him, a father of the fatherless and a defender of widows. That's pretty heavy. Extol God who rides upon the clouds, who is a defender of the widow. We need to be careful, man. Big cloud pull up, got to get off. Hey, treat her nice. You know? He's got a heart for widows and orphans, a great heart. Deuteronomy 27, 19 says, cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to a widow. Heavy. Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the oppressor and defend the fatherless and plead the case of the widow. God has a heart for widows, and we thank him for it. James says in James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion or faith before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows and to comfort them in their troubles. And what are their troubles? Now that a husband has split town, took money, maybe she doesn't have an income because she spent all of her time in the greatest job of all, and that's raising godly children, and she's been deserted. How is the church to respond according to James 1:27? Listen, we meet her material needs. Yes, we all should be doing that all the time. But you know what? What about visiting? What about you're going to run to the mall, get the kids a new pair of tennis shoes? Why don't you take the widow next door? She'd love to go. Hey, Taco Bell, love it. Anything. They just want to be with you. And Jesus has a heart for the widow. In the temple, we see Jesus exemplifying an incredible attitude towards a widow. Jesus says there in Mark 12, this poor widow, he says to the disciples, has cast in more than all of those who have given money into the treasury, for they all gave money because of their abundance, but this poor woman gave of her bios in the Greek. They gave, the people that had incomes gave of their life, of their resources. They had abundant. I got $1 million, so I'll give 10,000. No big deal. This lady gave a mite. You know what? All she had was a mite. She didn't even give a tenth of it. She gave it all. And Jesus says, hey, you guys, listen, see that lady? She gave all of her bios, which is the Greek word for her livelihood. When the meaning is this, when she gives that money, she's going to starve. And Jesus sat back and he watched that happen and he made a comment. I personally think that he might have filled up her grocery cart on the way home. In fact, I can't show you in the Bible. I'm making this up. I bet he did. So there. My Jesus cannot tolerate looking at a need and letting it go. He won't do it. And then in 1 Kings chapter 17, the widow at Zarephath, remember that? Her husband dies. She's got her little boy. She's got no food left but one little pancake that she's making. And she's got the little table prepared. Little boy sitting there. And she's a widow now. And she makes the cake. Who is it? It's Elijah. Let me in. Come on in, man of God. Great man of God. How are you? Fine. I need a cake. I need a pancake. She goes, I'm going to make this pancake. I'm going to give it to my boy and myself, and then we're going to die. And he says, I said, give me a pancake. And you know what she did? She submitted to the man of God and she made the pancake and gave it to him at the brink of death. And he said, honey, your days of poverty, of hunger are over. Because, listen, it was a type. It was typology. You give to God and he's going to give back to you. I'm God's man. Give to me and I'll give back, or God will give back to you. And she gave as though God was standing there. She gave it to him. And can you imagine having the promise in this day and age that she had? Lady, I know you're a widow. I know you don't have much. But from now on, you'll never run out of pancakes. You'll have them coming out of your cupboards. Every time you grab one, isn't that great? Roman meal, open up the thing, pull out a slice, and boop, another one appears. You know, they just keep coming. Isn't that precious? Putting God first. And then there's the widow in Luke 7. Jesus says, or it says there, the narrative says, and Jesus had compassion on her and said to her, woman, weep not. And he came and touched her little boy that had died. And they bore him. He came near, and they were bearing him, or they bore him. Those who bore him sat still. And he said to the young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him back to his mother. Why? She was a widow. She needed her boy. They didn't have welfare programs then. They didn't have food stamps. She needed her boy. And Jesus says, woman, weep not. He's coming back. I'll get him back for you because you need him. Isn't that awesome? Jesus has a heart for the widow. For if any widow has children, now people, if there's a widow who has children, or in some of your Bibles says nephew, the word is grandchildren. Children are grandchildren. Let them first learn to show piety or godliness at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. It means this. First of all, if you're a Christian and you have a mother who is a widow and her needs are not being met, you, according to the Word of God, are to make efforts to meet her needs. If you cannot, then get your brothers and your sisters together on the Word of God. Show them this verse. If they refuse, do the best you can. Do the best you can. If you have a mother who's been deserted by a man, or your dad or your stepdad's in prison, minister to your mom. And then if you have grandchildren, if you're a grandchild, you are to minister to your grandparents as God directs and as God leads. The first responsibility is home. Be a Christian at home first. And so the immediate family should first make every effort possible to meet her needs. And by the way, that is something that needs to be practiced in the church. Some people just pull up and say, this is my mom, help her out. Well, wait a minute, excuse me. According to the Word of God, what have you been doing? I mean, we'll gladly help her, but let's stick to the Word of God first. What are you doing? And so we need to be sensitive to that. And so he goes on. That they are to repay. And I got to say this right now, and I just have to say this because it touched my heart. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, it says that we're to obey, that we're to honor. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. What's the promise? You'll live. That's the promise. You'll have a long life. Yeah, you dishonor them, hey, you're going to have a short life. Show them honor. And I got to tell you something. I grew up in a home that's very regimented, my dad being in the Marines, and you know the story. And when I got born again, my dad, after I grew up, I saw this, you know, the newspaper all the time. My dad would sit there, come home from work, and have the newspaper up. And I had shared the gospel with him, and he radically refused the gospel, and some time went by, and this was not said in our home growing up, and it was the word love. And God began to do such a number on my heart, and I saw my dad sitting there in his chair, and I just saw the emptiness of his life. And I pushed the paper down, which is, you don't do that where I come from. I pushed the paper down, and I kissed him right on the forehead. And I said, I love you. and his glasses were like this. And he looked at me, and the bottom part of his eye started to fill up with tears. He would not admit this to this day. But as the bottom part of his eyes began to fill up with tears, and he couldn't look at me, and he said, I love you too, son. First time I ever heard it. And you know what? I remembered growing up, and I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And I was like 5 or 6, and my dad would pull up. I'd see his car coming down the street. You couldn't miss it. It was a 57 Plymouth Belvedere. Have you ever seen one of those? It looks just like the Batmobile. I'm not kidding. Some of you know that car. It's got wings on the back. And it would come down the street. And you'd press buttons to go in reverse. And no, I'm serious. Press buttons. It was a trip of a car. And I'd see that car coming down the street. And that was my dad. And that was the Dadmobile. And he'd pull up. And he'd always whistle the same tune, carrying that thermos, and always park that car in the same spot. The tire marks out on the street, same spot. You see, when you're little, you notice things like that. And I remember him coming in, and I'd be there. We had a fence around our house. And he'd come up, and I'd say, hi, Dad. He'd go, hi, Jackson. Called me Jackson. Hi, Jackson. Always same tone, same way. And I loved it. I didn't ever want that to change. And I remember standing in the kitchen, and he would walk in the kitchen and rinse out the thermos and set it by the... And I'd stand there, and I remember holding his... He's got arms, huge arms. And I would stand there. I remember this. I could paint a picture. I'd stand there, and I would hold the hair on his arms. And I came to about his elbow. I'd sniff his arm. He had a, I told you I had a nose. And he had a certain smell that was my dad. And I've seen my kids smelling my hand and my arm. And it just makes my heart leap back. We need to repay them. Because they've loved us. They've worked hard. They labored for us. They changed our diapers. Remember? We laid on the brand new couch and got sick and sleeping and threw up all over it. And I got up, I thought I was drowning. My mom didn't beat me up. She loved me. She cleaned me up on a brand new couch. And we got to repay them. We've got to bless them back in their old age. This doesn't affect me at all. You know, it's precious, it's serious. God doesn't take it lightly. If we're going to be Christians, then let's be Christians. And let's make it work, and let's do it right.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at part of 1 Timothy chapter 5, where Paul reminds Pastor Timothy to show that his faith is real by doing things like taking care of the poor and demonstrating respect for the elderly. It's a presentation called Responsibilities of a True Believer, and we'll continue with more in this series through 1 Timothy on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you've made Real Radio a part of your life, let us know. It's easy to do so. Just call, click, or write. For instance, you can visit us at realradioactive.org and click where it says send us a message. Just a few words of encouragement is all it takes. realradioactive.org. Here's our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can do it the traditional way. Write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of that information, simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in
Inside,
His Word.
You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.